ओम ज्ञान सुमिरन्तस्य ज्ञानं जनशलाकाय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
The mild and gentle nature of a woman. Usually in woman, there are certain characteristics which are more expected in women, feminine characteristics, and there are other more masculine characteristics. So a woman may also sometimes become angry or stern, but generally it is expected that a woman will be of a soft, gentle, kind, loving nature. So Draupadi is exhibiting this, even though at other times she showed another side also. But here she is showing the soft nature of a woman. Not only soft nature, but by training and by culture, she could not but offer obeisances to Ashwatthama, because she was trained like that. That if you see a Brahmana, someone from another caste, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra, if you see a Brahmana, then you immediately offer obeisances. Even in this case, he's only the son of a Brahmana. Generally, the son of a Brahmana was expected to become a Brahmana. So, because he was brought up like that. Although Ashwatthama was not worthy, and not only not worthy, but he had acted in such a way that she should feel most revengeful towards him. But then she saw him, and every time she would, in her life, she had seen Ashwatthama or any Brahmana, she would always offer obeisances, that natural feeling of respect. Here is a respectful person. So she could not change that nature. Even when he had acted in such a bad way, she could not think to take an equal position or a superior position by not offering obeisances. So this is culture, to offer respect to those who are worthy of respect. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went beyond the normal Vedic culture by recommending amanina manadena, offer respect to all. Vedic culture is that one should offer respect to those who are superior, to brahmanas, vaishnavas, sannyasis, teachers, parents. It should be offered respect. That is Vedic culture. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that we should offer respect to all living beings. And some of his followers, they exemplified that. Especially Raghunath Das Goswami was always offering obeisances, especially to the Vaishnavas. But the very act of offering obeisances that instilled in us the idea of I'm not superior. Here the word is given. Namama, offering obeisances. So we say Namaha. Namaste. So this word, Namaha, means negation of the me idea. Mama. Aham mameti. I, me and mine. But Nama means I'm offering respect to you and not promoting myself. Taking a respectful position. So this is the culture that Draupadi was so much deeply in, so much deeply taken up in, that even in such a circumstance she offered obeisances to Ashwatthama, even though he acted in the most abominable manner. But here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is on one side saying that yes, this is very good. But on the other hand, simply to be blindly offering respect, that should also not be done. That is why Brahma Bandhu, one who is born in the family of a Brahmana, he is not to be accepted properly as a Brahmana. And that's why even within Brahmanas, there are levels of development. Brahmana Vaishnava is considered the most developed and advanced. But there may be someone who is formally initiated as a Brahmana, but he doesn't study, he doesn't know anything. Brahmana is expected to be Brahmana Pandit. Prabhupada is doing good service there by wearing away the flaw. Surely there's some purpose to that, is there? No? Please listen, and you can also become a Brahmana. Even to listen requires to be in the mode of some mode of goodness, otherwise you can't listen. That's why you see people always fidgeting with their fingers, because too much mode of passion, they just can't sit and listen. So just try to listen, and you can be a Brahmana. Brahmana means in the mode of goodness. So a Brahmana is supposed to be Brahmana Pandit. He is supposed to study. He's supposed to study. This is the first duty of a Brahmana, to study. Then Pata, you will teach others. You can't teach others unless you study and learn yourself. There is Svadhyaya, means to study oneself, means personal reading. But of course, even the Svadhyaya, that has to be under the direction of Guru. Otherwise, if you simply read, but you don't hear, and you cannot properly understand. So Brahmana must be learned, and one who is very learned, he is honored. In the modern society, that's not there anymore. And people don't care if you... But before that was considered prestigious. If one had studied all the Vedas, if he could quote from different Shastras, and explain not only to learn like a parrot, so many shlokas, but to be able to explain the meaning. So there are different levels of brahmanas. So, for instance, when one is performing a ceremony, one is inviting brahmanas, he should try to invite someone who is very qualified brahmana. And then you will get more effect. If you're performing some ceremony for some benefit, generally these ceremonies are performed for benefits, some material benefit. So the more qualified the Brahmana that you call, the more effect you get from that. Advaita Acharya was a prominent Brahmana in Shantipur, which was known as a place of highly qualified Brahmanas. So when he performed the Shraddha ceremony, the ritualistic ceremony, in observance of his father's death, in this ceremony, you're supposed to call a Brahmana or Brahmanas who are highly qualified and offer them food. So Advaita Acharya called Haridas Thakur, who was born in a Muslim family. Even if you did that today, that would be considered outrageous, unthinkable. But what to speak of those days when the society was so rigid? So Haridas Thakur said, what are you doing? How can you offer this to me? And so Advaita Acharya said, by offering this plate of food to you, this is worth offering to millions of qualified Brahmanas. You are the topmost Brahmana. Because you know what is Brahman. There are different levels. Janmana Jayate Shudra. By birth, everyone is on the level of a Shudra. That means that even if one is born in a Brahmana family, as a child you have no training, so you're just like an animal. Shochati iti shudra. Shudra means one who is lamented. So you see children, if there's any problem, they'll immediately start crying. Any discomfort, they'll immediately start crying. They have no tolerance. They're always lamenting. So in that sense, children, they're just like animals. They have no self-control. They have no higher knowledge. So a child is just like animals. But then samskara bhavet vija. By undergoing a purificatory process, he becomes known as a dvija. That is known as the, specifically that is known as upanayanam samskara. Upanayanam means, it literally means coming within the eyesight or coming close to the guru. One becomes initiated. So by formal initiation, one is known as dvija. Dvija means twice born. Everyone gets birth from father and mother. Even the dogs and cats get birth from father and mother. But dvija means one who is twice born, in which the father is the spiritual master and the mother is the Vedic knowledge. That is considered the second birth, or real birth. Dvija, that also sometimes birds are called dvija, because they're born once, the egg comes from the mother's body, and then again they come out of the egg. Another dvija is teeth, because they come once and they fall out, and then again you get teeth. So dvija also means teeth. But dvija generally means twice born. So Brahmana, Kshatriya and Vaishya in Vedic society, they all get initiation and they are twice born. They are called dvija, not only Brahmanas. Then, Veda Patak Bhavet Vipra. By studying the Vedas, one is known as a Vipra, a learned person, not simply by hanging a thread on the body. But who is the real Brahmana? Brahma Janatiti Brahmana. Who knows Brahma? Who knows what is the absolute truth? That is the real meaning of a Brahmana. So Haridas Thakur was offered the Shraddha Patra, the plate offered in the Shraddha ceremony. Because he was the topmost Brahmana, because he knew what is Brahma, what is the supreme Brahma. Param Brahma Param Dhana Pavitram Paramam Brahma. The supreme Brahman is Krishna. So he was factually the topmost Brahmana, even though he hadn't been, there was no question of him being initiated as a Brahmana according to the rules of Hindu society at the time. But because he was always chanting the names of Krishna, he was fully dedicated to Krishna, he was understood to be the topmost Brahmana. Whereas someone who is not acting as a Brahmana, even if he's born in a high-class Brahmana family, he's not considered properly a Brahmana. Here Prabhupada writes that even to date in a Hindu family, a woman shows proper respect to the Brahmana caste, however fallen they may be. Whereas the men are beginning to question it. Prabhupada wrote this 40 years ago. Now they're not questioning it anymore. They already asked the questions and they got the answer. That simply being born in a Brahmin family, it doesn't mean anything. No one offers that special respect to someone born in a Brahmin family. Maybe in the villages, a little bit. But Brahmin and anybody else, mostly in most families, there's not much difference in behavior or activities or consciousness or anything. So even previously, some years ago, people would offer this place. Still you'll find in what are called the backward parts of India, that means where modern civilized, so-called civilization didn't reach, in your Orissa, in some parts, the priests will still be offered respect, like that. And still here, formally, the priest is offered some Guruji. A guru has come. Let's go Tara Paisado. Tara Kelawa Banado. They won't say exactly like that. Give him some food, give him some money and chase him out. They don't say like that. But there's no special respect song because the priests, they're doing it as a profession. They have no spiritual knowledge. They cannot uplift others. Just like I was saying, having this Vyasa Puja ceremony. Hopefully it will not be done as a formality. We'll find so many ceremonies where they, someone has done some big person, head of some political leader or whatever, they have some function to honor him. But no one cares for that person. It's just done as a formality. So like that, even today, little bit of respect may be shown by some people to some brahmanas in Hindu society. But even that is just done as a formality. Because the brahmanas, they don't have anything to give the people in real terms. They have nothing to offer. Nothing that can inspire them in their heart. So, that offering, whatever praise may be given or respect, it's simply going on as a formality. So Prabhupada mentions here that culture is there and discrimination is also there. That we shouldn't just accept someone just because of the position. Of course, that is culture also. Just like if we see sannyasi, we may offer respect and actually feel to offer respect. And if you don't, then you haven't had any cultural training or haven't imbibed anything. But then if the person doesn't act properly as a sannyasi, then we should see also. Now, we should be very careful to see them. Right? We should, just like you see here, Draupadi, she is so much respectful that even Ashwatthama has acted in the most improper way. Still she's offering respect. So that is the general principle, to offer respect. But one should not accept improper activities done by a person who is in an even if he's in an elevated position. Now you have to be very careful with this, because someone may be in an elevated position, but he may sometimes do something wrong, just like Brahma. We were discussing this the other day. That is recorded in Shastra. How he chased after his daughter. But because of that, we don't preach in our classes. We may do to demonstrate a particular point, but we don't offer any less respect to Lord Brahma. Because what are his activities? He's a confidential servitor of the Lord. So we see that. And some mistake is there. We may mention it just to show how one has to be very careful in the execution of devotional service. That even Brahma, who was so exalted, he had some fall down. But again, he came from that position and went on with his devotional service. So we honor him for that. So someone who's in an exalted position has an occasional lapse. Or even if he has not an occasional lapse, but has some ongoing discrepancy in his behavior. But it's not exactly a fall down from devotional service, but some discrepancy, whatever it may be. But if he's fully engaged in Krishna's service, his life is dedicated for that, then if we criticize that person, that becomes an offense on our part. Now if there's something some senior person is doing very wrong, then those who are more junior, then if they feel too much disturbed by that, then they may approach another senior person and ask, you please say something to him. And that will be privately. Not this revolutions and inquests and public inquiry and politics. That is not Vedic culture. So something may be, everything should be done in a very civilized way with respect. That respecting that position. Otherwise, if we bring everything to some kind of egalitarianism, well, sannyasis are no good, so I mean, the new Baptists are just as good. Harbal Maharaj, is it someone? No offering of incense. Harbal Maharaj. So, then where is the culture? And then, if there's no proper respect offered, then how can those who are in a respectful position perform their duty of teaching and training others? So that respect has to be maintained. Even if someone is there is some discrepancy, someone in an exalted position. Of course, those who are in an exalted position, they should not try to occupy an exalted position unless they act in an exalted way. Otherwise, that will cause a disturbance. That's another element. There will be a great disturbance if those who are supposed to be teaching others by example do not properly do so. But those who are in a junior position, they should, first thing, if there's any fault is there, they should, their first tendency should be to overlook this, just like Draupadi, such a great fault on the part of Ashwatthama. But she put aside even her own very deep emotions that her sons had been killed by this person in such a horrible way. But her first response, herself being a great person, was to overlook that, to forgive that. And Krishna also, even though he said this Ashwatthama is fit for being killed, he also didn't want him killed. He also upheld that culture. And the son of a teacher, he should not be killed. So he was killed in one sense by the top knot being cut from his head. He was not physically killed. Then another point is that even though Ashwatthama was so bad, you could say probably in the Mahabharata battle, I think he's the worst person, because what he did, his activities were the most demoniac of all the men. What he actually did was the most demoniac. But still, Krishna wanted to give him a chance. And ultimately, he became purified, or he's becoming purified. Because Ashwatthama, he was one of the Chirajivis, long-lived people. And he's still alive. He didn't, after the battle of Kurukshetra, he went to the Himalayas for performing penances. And he's still doing that. And eventually, in due course of time, he'll become what, one of the Saptarshis, or is he the next Vyas? Yes, next Vyas. Yeah. So he will take the exalted position of Vyasadeva. So just see, even if someone is bad, if there's any goodness, that should be taken out, given a chance. Of course, we have to be very careful that the general tendency of a great personality is to find the good quality in a person and develop that. So that's another lesson to be drawn from this story of Ashwatthama. Hare Krishna. Is there any question? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Might appear to be something from some bogus guru. The body should be properly cared for. All precautions should be taken to protect the body. So build hospitals, do exercise, lift weights, become strong. The body, we should look after the body. Most important, make sure that the body is fit and healthy. Well, that's true. If the body is engaged in Krishna's service, the body should be looked after. That is the point that Prabhupada is making here. Not that we give stress to the body. Our whole philosophy that we're preaching and trying to understand is that we are not the body. The body is temporary. The soul is eternal. Bodily life is just a few seconds. The beautiful body of today is the finished, worn out body of tomorrow. Just like that, there's that poster there. That we, what is that? We bury the body. Of course in India, at least the Hindus, they don't bury the body. We don't. That if they see that, they might think you're a Christian or a Muslim. We bury the body. But that is the goal of the body. In Thailand, I visited one Buddhist monastery where they're like hardcore. They're really serious about being Buddhists. They're like as sincere as a Buddhist could be. So they have this museum there, like a diorama exhibition. So one of the exhibits is a dead body of a woman's dead body. And it's grotesque. And it stinks. It's all, somehow, they preserved it. So it's all shriveled up and dried up. And the mouth is open and the eye sockets are empty and there's some gray hairs. And right next to that, there's a picture of a photograph of a very nice, beautiful, young Thai woman. Thai women are famous, for those who know about these things, for their sensuality. They're supposed to be very beautiful women. So you see, there's the contrast, that dead body was one time the object of attraction for the young men in wherever she was living. I remember once in Bengal, I was walking on the street with a godbrother in one town, and we saw three generations. Young girl, about 16 years old, in the flower of youth, and her mother, the flower already wilted away. She was already older. And then you could see there were daughter, mother, grandmother. And then grandmother getting ready for Dehanta Prapti, getting ready to take another body. So they all looked very similar. But one was fresh and young. One was in the process of wearing out. And one was already worn out. So this is these things we have to understand. We're not the body. The body is temporary. Attraction to the body is on the material platform. Attraction to Krishna is on the spiritual platform. So why should we bother for the body at all? We should bother for the body because we need the body to serve Krishna. Now someone who's very highly spiritually advanced, even he doesn't care for the body. Nidra hara vihara kadi vijito, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they practically stopped eating, stopped sleeping. It's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita that they would sleep for only 1.5 hours a day, and sometimes also that wasn't possible because they were too busy. What were they busy doing? Krishna, Kirtana, Gana, Nartana, Paro. They were very busy chanting and dancing about Krishna. And Nana, Shastra, Vichara, Naika, Nipuno, Sandharma, Samsthapako. Studying all the scriptures with the aim of establishing Lokanam Hitakarino, for the benefit of people, they were establishing what is the proper purpose of scripture. So, you see that we have books like Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So now you open the book, it says, it's systematically arranged. Purity of devotional service surpasses all liberation, the chapter. So each chapter, there are so many verses to establish the points. So yeah, Rupa Goswami will write that a pure devotee does not even desire liberation. In this regard, it is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, so many quotes will be there, Brahma Yamala. So many different scriptures are quoted to establish these points. So to get those points, Rupa Goswami had to read through so many scriptures. Just like in the in Hari Bhakti Vilas, it's similar. So in Hari Bhakti Vilas, you will find there are two verses, I believe, from Varaha Purana, in which it is stated that Lord Varaha is stating that I like to be worshipped with paraphernalia of copper. I prefer that to silver or gold. So that is statement by which we can understand how to worship Lord Vishnu with copper. So to get those two verses, then Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they had to read through the whole Varaha Purana. And from that, the two verses came. So like this, they read so many scriptures. And when they found some point, collect this point, put that for the benefit of the Vaishnavas, future generations.